Figueroa spent her lunch hour pumping iron in the police gym. Lunch consisted of black coffee and a meatball sandwich with beet salad, which she took back to her office. She closed the door, cleared her desk, and started reading the Bjork report while she ate. She also read the appendix, with the correspondence between Bjork and Dr. Teleborian. She made a note of every name and every incident in the report that had to be verified. After 2 hours, she got up, went to the coffee machine, and got a refill. When she left her office, she locked the door. Part of the routine at SIS. Back at her desk, the first thing she did was check the report's protocol number. She called the registrar and was informed that no report with that protocol number existed. Her second check was to consult a media archive. That yielded better results. The evening papers and a morning paper had reported a person being badly injured in a car fire on Lundegarten on the date in question in 1991. The victim of the incident was a middle-aged man, but no name was given. One evening paper reported that, according to a witness, the fire had been started deliberately by a young girl. Gunnar Bjork, the author of the report, was a real person. He was a senior official in the immigration unit, lately on sick leave and now, very recently, deceased. A suicide. The personnel department had no information about what Bjork had been working on in 1991. The file was stamped top secret, even for other employees at SIS, which was routine. It was a straightforward matter to establish that Salander had lived with her mother and twin sister on Lundegarten in 1991 and spent the following 2 years at St. Stephen's Children's Psychiatric Clinic. In these sections, at least, the record corresponded with the report's contents. Peter Teleborian, now a well-known psychiatrist often seen on TV, had worked at St. Stephen's in 1991 and was today its senior physician. Figueroa then called the assistant head of the personnel department.
"We're working on an analysis here in CP that requires evaluating a person's credibility and general mental health. I need to consult a psychiatrist and some other professional who's approved to handle classified information. Dr. Peter Teleborian was mentioned to me, and I was wondering whether I could hire him."
It took a while before she got an answer.
"Dr. Teleborian has been an external consultant for SIS in a couple of instances. He has security clearance, and you can discuss classified information with him in general terms. But before you approach him, you have to follow the bureaucratic procedure. Your supervisor must approve the consultation and make a formal request for you to be allowed to approach Dr. Teleborian."
Her heart sank. She had verified something that could be known only to a very restricted group of people. Teleborian had indeed had dealings with SIS. She put down the report and focused her attention on other aspects of the information that Ed Clint had given her. She studied the photographs of the two men who had allegedly followed the journalist Blomqvist from Café Copacabana on May 1st. She consulted the vehicle registry and found that Goran Mortensen was the owner of a grey Volvo with a registration number legible in the photographs. Then she got confirmation from the SIS personnel department that he was employed there. Her heart sank again. Mortensen worked in personal protection. He was a bodyguard. It was one of the officers responsible on formal occasions for the safety of the Prime Minister. For the past few weeks he had been loaned to counter-espionage. His leave of absence had begun on April 10th, a couple of days after Zalichenko and Salander had landed in Sahlgrenska Hospital. But that sort of temporary reassignment was not unusual, covering a shortage of personnel here or there in an emergency situation. Then Figueroa called the assistant chief of counter-espionage, a man she knew and had worked for during her short time in that department. Was Goran Mortensen working on anything important, or could he be borrowed for an investigation in constitutional protection? The assistant chief of counter-espionage was puzzled. Inspector Figueroa must have been misinformed. Mortensen had not been reassigned to counter-espionage. Sorry. Figueroa stared at her receiver for 2 minutes. In personal protection, they believed that Mortensen had been loaned out to counter-espionage. Counter-espionage said that they definitely had not borrowed him. Transfers of that kind had to be approved by the chief of secretariat. She reached for the phone to call him, but stopped short. If personal protection had loaned out Mortensen, then the chief of secretariat must have approved the decision. But Mortensen was not at counter-espionage, which the chief of secretariat must be aware of. And if Mortensen was loaned out to some department that was tailing journalists, then the chief of secretariat would have to know about that, too. Ed Clint had told her he didn't want any rings in the water.
To raise the matter with the Chief of Secretariat might be to chuck a very large stone into a pond.